Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. Fall to your stock. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Wednesday, the 12th of March, 2025. The mornings are bright and fresh and a little bit damp this morning in Dublin. Let the crows guide your mood, sure. And don't mind world affairs. They tend to carry on even if you fret about them. There's no point at all. Take your thoughts out of your head, sure, and tap them out to us in the usual way. That's 087 032 32 32. That's on the WhatsApp. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Yes, speaking of things you don't want to be thinking about, this very morning, exactly 5 years ago, the teacher of the country was on television addressing us from the United States, because that's where all the activity was happening then, as it is now. And Leo Varadkar announced back then all schools, colleges, childcare facilities would close and teaching would move online. It was, of course, the beginning of a lockdown that would last effectively 2 years. Also on the 12th of March 2020, indoor mass gatherings of more than 100 people and outdoor gatherings of more than 500 people were banned. And on and off, we went to have what I think is the longest, maybe harshest lockdown of any democratic country, certainly. And all those horrible phrases and words that became so familiar during that 2 year period, the 2 kilometre radius, social distancing, cohorts and bubbles, NEFIT, substantial meals, cocooning, flattening the curve, contact tracing, self-isolation. We're all in this together. Ugh. It feels longer than 5 years, I think. It's a moment that probably really changed Ireland. How exactly, we may never find out. There is an inquiry going on at the moment, but it's happening in secret, and it's not going to blame anyone for anything. It's a bit Irish, isn't it? In keeping with the season, I suppose. And there is an interesting story on this anniversary. Professor Luke O'Neill, who became one of the most, if not the most famous people around that COVID-19 period 5 years ago, has given an interview saying that at the same time, the pandemic feels like yesterday and a lifetime ago all at once, marking the 5th anniversary. He's telling Larissa Nolan here, the Irish Daily Star, kind of extraordinary things that he remembers. Standout memories for him include having an armed bodyguard due to death threats against him and playing the electric picnic with his band, the Metabolics, when the restrictions were finally lifted. They're the memories. But it's quite extraordinary to hear the 5 years on. He talks, science brings us hope, but it got very intense, he says. I was getting death threats. I had a bodyguard for months. Trinity College, where he's working at the time, gave me one as some of the anti-vaxxers came to the campus saying they were going to kill me. They had placards with my face in a noose. One time he went to a radio station. There was someone there waiting for him with a camera up to his face. That was a flashpoint. I was assaulted on an empty Grafton Street. I was out for lunch. A guy pulled me back aggressively by the coat, started shouting and roaring at me about vaccines. I just managed to stay on my feet. And the college was concerned for my safety, and they gave me personal protection in the form of an armed bodyguard. And he says, Jer was the name of the bodyguard, well-built man who was armed. But he also remembers the gratitude of the public because he was a very calming person. He was very reasonable in the way that he articulated the science, and he created a lot of calm. So that is the moment that we, you know, don't really want to talk very much about, really, do we? And all eyes, of course, are on the Oval Office this morning. From Ireland, anyway. Most of the world, including America, may not even notice the Taoiseach's moment in Washington after all our discussion here. Unless, of course, President Trump decides to say something notable or interesting or, you know, kind of flammable about international affairs during that meeting, because there's a lot going on in the background as well. But we have fretted and hyped up and sent advice out to Micheál Martin, who must be feeling fairly beleaguered at this stage. But all told, the day itself is unlikely now to blow up into global headlines. And amid the niceties of the before the cameras, of course, the EU-US trade wars, you heard Tony Connolly's report there in the news, is really underway and ramping up. And that's a phrase of the day, Osqualia, for everybody. Cogu Trodola, trade war. Of course, the Ukraine ceasefire deal was a big surprise that was agreed yesterday. Now the Americans have to convince the Russians to come on board, while and all the while that war is continuing to rage on. But Taoiseach Micheál Martin, according to the Irish Times, he's arriving at precisely the right time, and that the fears that he's walking into an ambush seem increasingly unlikely, which will be good news to him and his team. So he'll smile and he'll hand over the shamrock and do his duty as an underling nation. And in return, America hopefully won't be interfering in our economic model as effectively a tax haven for US companies. And there's a nod to that on the front page of the Irish Times today, because there's a new book, extraordinary claim being made about Ireland and its dealings with Facebook company, by Sarah Wynne Williams. Who was she? She was once Facebook's Director of Global Public Policy, but like many people at the heart of Facebook, has turned into a whistleblower and has filed complaints about the behaviour of the company to American regulators in this case. So she's put out a book, and she claims in this book that Sheryl Sandberg, who was a top Facebook official, this will be in the Enda Kenny period 10 years ago, she received a special phone, like a hotline, on her first Irish business trip after the company decided in 2008 to locate its European headquarters in Dublin. The book claims that this kind of like hotline phone connected her to someone in the Irish government who could solve any problem or address any accommodation she needed immediately on the line. What is the Facebook company now known as Meta? They changed their name because of all the stories about how terrible they treat the world. They say the book is a mix of out-of-date and previously reported claims about the company and false accusations about her executives. It's a general thing. The book itself is called Careless People, by the way, and is also about how Enda Kenny sought to enlist Facebook in his help. And that was out before, as the EU were cracking down on Ireland's data regulator, saying, you need to do more over there. So he kind of recruited Facebook as a powerful company at the time. So that's what's that's the backdrop, isn't it? These American companies, which are very important to the number of people that we have employed in this country. And that is the reason why, like every Taoiseach before him, Micheál Martin will very diplomatically not criticise the American president to his face, certainly not this president. But to his credit, Donald Trump, of course, has kept up the tradition of recognising Irish influence on that continent nation, and has even declared March Irish-American History Month with an executive order just last week, and said very nice things about Irish people as well. The texts are coming in already. 51551, by the way, for your texts. The COVID anniversary is the thing. Remembered taking a call from a colleague telling me that the Taoiseach had just announced lockdown. I was standing outside the Indiana Jones Temple in Disneyland Paris. Little did I know the full extent of the impending doom, says Anne-Marie. Yes, little did any of us know, although the weather was very nice in April, March, April, and sure, by the summer we thought that was the worst of it. Someone says, what about Dr. Tony Houlihan? He, along with Leo, were my heroes during the pandemic, says that person, who's very subjective view, memories of that. Why are we looking back? There's nothing nostalgic about COVID and all that happened. I think when you go 5 years since that thing, and I remember reading stuff afterwards saying that we won't really remember those years because all of the usual milestones of your life were missing, the general anniversaries, weddings and things. You go, oh, I remember 2019 because it was that wedding. They got, couple got married and there was this thing that happened, and nobody, there were none of those milestones. And that's why it's really difficult to remember things happened in 2020, 2021, 2022, I suppose. What amazes me is that those 2 years are a dull blur. No actual memories of anything, no occasions to register. This is this texter saying the very thing. Or benchmark memory, holidays, birthdays. Even now I struggle with, was that 2021 or 2022? Yet for so many it was a time of profound sadness and frustration, says Gary Duncan, who of course is reminding us, and I was looking it up only last night, the official figure is about 10,000 people died from contracting COVID-19 or died with it. Those figures are muddled, but a lot of people will remember the funerals that they missed, and it's very, very sad. And this person texts us, remembering my gorgeous husband who lost his life to COVID, only 56. He had healthy lungs and a heart and was taken in just 10 days. January 2021, COVID has changed our lives forever. He left in an ambulance and we never saw him alive again. 5 minutes I saw him after he died, and then nothing. The hospital staff were amazing. It is so hard for so many to remember how difficult it actually was. God, that'll stop you in your tracks now, wouldn't it? That's 2021. And it's mixed, you see, all of this sadness with bizarre memories. Like this texter says, I remember the former Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, drinking cans down the Phoenix Park. Oh my God. It's just really hard to compute the very, very bizarre moments. And of course, the Taoiseach is in Washington again, as he was in 2020. Right now, if Trump wants to have a bit of a giggle, he should insist on Micheál Martin repeating the word aluminium. That's going to make great television. So Seamus and Killarney, you've spotted something I haven't spotted, aluminium. Or is it the American aluminum? It's aluminum. The aluminum tariffs. No, the aluminum. Aluminum. And if he follows the rules, Micheál just say the word the way he wants it. By the way, the schedule for the absolute nerds, which I know are listening to this program, Washington is 4 hours behind us at the moment. They will be for the next 2 weeks until we push our clocks forward the last weekend of March. So around 1:00 p.m. Irish time, Micheál Martin and the wife Mary will be greeted by Vice President J.D. Vance and the Second Lady Usha Vance. That'll happen at the Naval Observatory where they live, and they'll have breakfast, and there'll be lots of dignitaries there and speeches by the two of them. We expect J.D. Vance to talk up his Ulster Scots heritage, or Scots-Irish, as some people like to say, because his ancestry, his people basically went from Scotland into Ulster and then on to the Appalachian region, of course, of America. So he'll talk up his Irish roots there. And then at 2:45, Micheál will be met by President Trump on the White House driveway, as they call the stakeout location for the press corps there. And there'll be a 1 hour meeting in the Oval Office. Watch out for the length of the press part of that, because they only have 1 hour in total, and they divide it between the private conversation of the two leaders and the press scrum, which gets, of course, the photo of the day. And that's a photo Micheál Martin has been waiting a long time to get to, between COVID and his own brush with the virus as well. And so 4 o'clock our time, the leaders will go separately to the Capitol building, and that's where the Friends of Ireland lunch will happen, hosted by Speaker Mike Johnson, who's a very problematic figure for many people. Trump will be there too for the lunch, but he will then leave after about an hour, and he will do his main business away from all the Irish stuff. He'll do his main world business for 3.5 hours. And the statements that he will put out during that period, all the things happening, Ukraine, tariffs, Teslas, because he welcomed 5 Teslas to the Oval Office only yesterday to support Elon Musk with the backlash against him. Transgender mice, which is the source of a spat between what the White House called, in an official press release, CNN fake news losers, in a row dating from a speech last week. Whatever he gets up to there and announces to the world, that will be closely watched, because immediately after that, at 5 p.m. in Washington, which will be 9:00 p.m. tonight, the Shamrock Ceremony will happen in the East Room in Washington, and there will be speeches there and sometimes questions as well thrown up. So that could be the moment where things could get very interesting. And the press corps from Ireland, of course, they'll be watching out for sightings of Enoch Burke's family, because they have they were spotted on the plane to Washington yesterday, and they've a big, big supporter in Elon Musk, so they could appear at any of the official events. We don't know yet. There are 3 members of the family from Mayo on their way over, and Micheál Martin says free, like any family are, to travel over there. And it's fair to say he has some, probably more Irish supporters, Donald Trump that is, this time round than in his first term. And of course, one of the most profound impacts that he's had on the world, or had on America, is the war the Trump administration has on his own federal government employees. And just overnight, the White House announced a mass layoff in the US Education Department. Nearly half of all the staff have been cut. Trump has said he wants to eliminate the department altogether, because he says it's damaging to American children, and that won him votes. But of course, he can't get rid of the Education Department without an act of Congress, and they don't have a big enough majority. The staff reductions announced on Tuesday, according to the Washington Post, are the largest in the department's history, and were inconceivable really before this administration came into power. There have been layoffs or notice of job cuts, we counted, in 23 American federal agencies and government departments. It is hard to put a figure on the total jobs lost, but we do know 62,000 people were laid off in the first 2 months of the year, civil servants, just the first 2 months. Many of them, of course, likely to be Trump voters as well. And our guest today is the blockbuster author Michael Lewis, who is focusing on this very issue in his new book. And he's always ahead of the curve, as he was with his big monster hits Moneyball and The Big Short, which were made into brilliant movies. And Michael Lewis was in Dublin recently to receive the James Joyce Award from UCD. And he spoke to us about his new book that celebrates civil servants in America who do important things that have gone unnoticed until now. Extraordinary things that have done incredible improvements to American people's lives. And we're going to be talking to him as well about the Irish crash as well, because he wrote a famous Vanity Fair article in 2011 that summed up how particular the devastation of the world economic crash was in Ireland and how we made such a bags of the handling the fallout. Most notable in that, by the way, was his utter astonishment at our collective lack of protest against the politicians and the bankers and the shambolic regulators who sailed home on lump sums and pensions that they continue to enjoy today. Imagine his reaction when I told them that the same party then are in power today. So that's coming up later. I think you're going to enjoy that conversation immensely. He's on the button with that federal employees thing. 087 032 32 32 is the WhatsApp. Don't mind your aluminium. Don't forget the pronunciation of nuclear. Then they, along with many Irish broadcasters and newsreaders, pronounce it nuclear instead of nuclear. It cracks me up, says Donald. We could go all day on the stuff. Someone says, what do they do with all the water for glass bowls in the White House, says Mary. They do have an entire room, don't they, where they store official gifts from one leader to the other. And the various presidents over the years might have taken one or two home with them, not just Donald Trump. And someone's just texting, Heritage Month, whatever that is. But of course, Micheál Martin, it has been stressful and people have been firing advice at him nonstop. And there might well be a playlist for Micheál to build confidence. It is just after, it's 20 past five in the morning there in Washington, so he'd be up and about now already. Sure, he's an early riser, having his green kale smoothie, and he'd be plugging in his playlist to get ready. He might start up with something like this, you know. So.
The moment I wake up.
Yes.
Do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do.
Oh, he needs makeup today. Yes, say the little prayer. And of course, he'll need a little tune then as well. You know, shows he's trying to appeal to the sensibilities of this great and very stable. He'll have to curry some favour. He'll have to curry some favour.
Just hold me close. Don't patronize.
Good advice.
Don't patronize.
Say it twice, why don't you? And remember, Micheál.
Cause I can't make you love me if you don't.
He has to try, he has to try.
I just wanted you. This is me trying. Maybe I'm quite. I just wanted you to know. This is me trying.
Thank you, Tete. Pretty good, pretty good. It's going really well. There's so much, though, to keep in. Don't do the frowny face, Micheál. Make sure you look happy to be there in this intensely stressful environment.
You look into my eyes and lie those pretty lies. And pretty soon I'm wondering how I came to doubt you. All you gotta do is smile and smile.
Smile.
And
very good to have a bit of Dolly Parton on your side. And also, because you've got to do some pushback as well. You can't be just a complete pushover now, you know?
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys.
Keir Starmer, very, very close to him at the minute.
And don't tell me what to do.
You give it to him, Micheál. Exactly.
And please, when I go out with you, don't put me on display.
But don't forget, though, Trump could have his own playlist.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
This is what he's demanding this morning. Ultimately, though, we're a small country, the Taoiseach will remember. Of course, he'll be saying, we host America's military in Shannon. We have the MAGA golfers in Doonbeg. We're going to have to fix the roads. We're going to tell him we put up that wall that he wants. We'll give you Clare anything, Mr. President. We beg you, just leave the economy alone. And here's the song in full for Micheál's ultimate Oval Office meeting playlist this morning. Welcome and a happy Wednesday, everyone.